My name is Stefano, and today I will be talking about a concept of coded UI automation in the umbrella, in the context of DevOps automation. Why is that important? We'll go through that in a few minutes. We'll try to give a bit of the why we are doing it, what we are doing it, and then specifically how we do UI test automation using the Microsoft Edge web driver. It's not new, but Edge it is, and we'll see how that works in Windows 10. So as said, my name is Stefano Tempesta. I work as a solution architect at Datacom. I'm based in Melbourne. So I've been here for the week. I actually enjoyed this Ignite. It's been pretty good. I've done a few in the past, including TechEd 2 years ago, same venue. But I admit I'm enjoying this one particularly. As you guys probably are guessing, I'm originally from Italy. And that's a real picture of my office some 10 years ago. Well, from my office, not my office. But real picture, real story. I was just there for 3 or 4 years, staring at the Colosseum all the time. It was pretty awesome in Rome. Then I moved to the UK. I lived in London for a few years. I worked on a project for the Olympics. And another real picture of from my office looking at the London Bridge during the Olympics Games. And then I think, January 2013, I moved to Australia, just decided to take this opportunity. And that's my view from the office now. So, but whatever, I'm in Australia, it's good. So we'll try to improve. Now, seriously, what are we talking today about? DevOps automation, partially because I will be here for the rest of the week to talk about DevOps automation, but specifically coded UI testing. There is some good demo, hopefully works, and now we get into Windows 10, the Microsoft Edge, and we'll see how we can automate UI testing using the Microsoft Edge browser. And obviously, Q&A at the end, but if you have something absolutely important, just raise your hand. I want this session to be really interactive as much as possible. So DevOps automation. Now, most of you are probably working with some form of automation, automation of creating new environments, automation of creating testing applications, deploying applications, building applications. There is so much that we can speak about DevOps automation that I really don't know where to start from, to be honest. And I try to put my head around what DevOps automation can be and come out with 12 boxes. And I say, okay, shall I talk about all of them? I was told I have only 1 hour today, right? So I need to pick one, and I decided to pick testing automation. So, and in the concept of testing automation, more specifically coded UI testing. Why? That's a good question. I think because sometimes coded UI automation is A, not known what it's about, 2, B, neglected, and 3, I don't really know how to do it. And I'm talking about my experience. I've been in software development practices with the Microsoft.NET technology stack for long. And I noticed that, yes, we do a bit of unit testing. Sometimes, if we have time, we do load testing of our web applications. We never used to do UI testing. And I'm a strong advocate of a UX, user experience-driven design of applications. So you start from your user experience. How do you make sure that that user experience actually works? Coded UI testing are here to help. Now, there are several ways of doing it, and we'll start exploring what is available out of the box in Visual Studio 2015, actually 2013, obviously the recent one, 2015, and then we'll get more into the Microsoft Edge browser. So, coded UI testing. Let me throw a technology, a word, and see how many people actually ever heard or even use it. If I say selenium, does it ring anything? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that. So selenium is a technology that has been around for some time and is being and is used for automating browsers in order to perform some tasks that humans will do, as in entering data, submitting information, verifying that the information is actually available on the web page. Today, we'll focus on an MVC application, and we'll try to go through some of the examples, and I will jump into the demo in a moment. This last colorful slide is just to say coded UI testing is not for replacing humans. So there is a lot of the human people, testers, can do. And there is something else that we want to automate. So if I just take this place and say, from a manual perspective, my tester can do the full stack of the application. The user interface, the business logic, our data, and that's pretty awesome. It works. In my team, we have a ratio of two devs and one tester. So 50% of time effort is allocated for testing applications. And we find this to be valuable in terms of quality assurance. Previous experience, when I mentioned that I work on the Olympics games in London, was probably around 20-25% of testers allocated. And probably because there was a bit more automation than what I'm honestly currently doing it, and I would love to. But there is a lot that we can do from a coded perspective. Obviously, the unit testing, integration testing, check your business logic, check your data, check your connection to the database, check that your web service is returning the right value, and so on. Coded UI testing are two kinds of test approaches, if you want. One is extremely focused on the UI only and forget about anything else, and that's probably this third box, as in I fake the business logic, I create mocks, I create fakes, whatever, and I just focus on entering data into the UI, into my input boxes, in clicking buttons, in verifying that the page works as in UI perspective, or can be also extended through the entire stack and go through the business logic and application data. So what I want to show you now is a bit of a mix of these, where we don't deal too much with data, but we'll focus on the UI experience. And to do that, let me switch back to my laptop, where I have my demo environment. Yep, it is on screen. This is an MVC application. I'll go through that in a moment. So if I just open my Internet Explorer, is an MVC, MVC 5. Forget about the look and feel. It's not meant to be nice. I'm not a web designer. What it does is basically create some information in terms of what are the environments that I want to deploy my application to, what are the applications that I want to deploy, and a definition of builds, tests, and releases, and so on, and then create a deployment plan. And this deployment plan is queued and then processed. The idea is, as part of my DevOps automation practice, I want to define my deployment plan that contains my infrastructure. I need a development server, I need a pre-production server, I need a live production server. What are the applications that are deployed inside this environment, and when this is happening? So, just very briefly, because then obviously I want to jump into the demo itself. The application defines a number of environments, development, production, staging, UAT environments, defines a number of applications that can be deployed, a simple ASP.NET MVC application, or can be a more complex platform like a Dynamics CRM or SharePoint. It doesn't have to be a Microsoft platform. It can be a Kentico CMS, a Sitecore, anything that is scriptable, anything that has an SDK or can be programmable using a PowerShell script, anything that can be executed silently and programmatically, can be scripted and deployed automatically. What else? Build definition. Whoever works on Visual Studio knows that you can define a build in terms of debug releases. If you target any CPU, you target a specific CPU if you really want to. And what else? Test definition. So we have a number of type of tests, unit tests, coded UI tests. We'll focus today, obviously, on the coded UI test, and we'll focus on the Edge Web Driver. So this is my framework to use. And last one, the release definition is a single server, is a class of servers, is a Windows platform, and so on. All of these definitions, definition of tests, definition of releases, definition of builds, can be added dynamically at runtime. And when that happens, so once I created my data set, I can define a new deployment plan. So if I create a new plan, I can say this is a plan for the Ignite Friday 20th. It's active from today. It doesn't expire. We want to send an application, is an MVC5. I'm happy with the development environment, create, ready to go. I haven't defined what this is actually happening, so I'm editing this again. And then I say build, just build in debug mode, is a development mode. Just build a test, the coded UI testing, and release on a single server. So this is basically defining a chain of events that happen after I queue my application. Sorry, get back. Here it is. So once I deploy, the deployment plan has been queued, will be processed, and in the background, what's happening is all the scripts that create the environment in a cloud hosted environment are executed, the application is deployed, the tests are executed, obviously the build is done, the tests are executed, and then released. When this is complete, I receive a report with all the steps. Now, this the application as a concept that automates some processes. I want to start testing this application. I want to verify that the UI, the user interface of this application is actually functional. So the way to do that is having a coded UI test project. So just briefly here, this it was my definition. It's very simple models in some way. There is a deployment plan, which has an application, an environment, and one or more build definition, test definition, release definition. Nothing particularly fancy. The idea is keep it simple so that we can test the UI. Coded UI test project, that is where all the automation in terms of UI testing happens. This is, if you go add a new project, hopefully you can see that on screen, it's not too small. Is a test project and is a coded UI test project. Then you add this to the solution, and from the solution you can add a coded UI test. So this is important because obviously there are several types of tests that you can add. The coded UI test is the one that we want now. It creates a couple of files that we'll have a look in a moment, and then it prompts for this option. Do you want to record the action on the spot, or do you want to use existing recorded actions? We'll go for the first option because there is nothing pre-recorded. I want to do a real-time demo, and if it fails, it fails, but hopefully it doesn't. Okay, it starts. And as you can see here on the bottom, there is my coded UI test builder. So this little gadget here is actually ready to record all the actions that I perform on the browser. Before we go into that, let's see what happened, because now this is really going a step ahead. What happened is, from a Visual Studio perspective, I have my coded UI test. If anybody's familiar with unit testing, we'll probably know that there is a unit test class that is generated. There are some other methods that are addressed with the attribute test method. It is extremely, extremely similar. And you can see that has been commented here. There is also test initialized. Let me remove the comment. So you can see that there is a test initialized and there is also a cleanup. So the structure of a coded UI test is extremely similar to the unit test if you're using frameworks like NUnit or the Visual Studio test tools. And actually, this is Visual Studio test tools. And it is using the UI testing and a bit of the unit testing attributes. The only difference, as you notice, is this coded UI test. So let's give a proper name. Here is a coded UI test. I want to test my deployment plans. Deployment plans. Here we go. Changing the name of the class. All done. Then I have a method. I have my initialization and my cleanup. Let's start how we initialize. Now, if you remember the little gadget here, my UI test builder, the good things about that builder is that I can just act as a tester on the screen. The builder will record all the actions, and I don't need to enter any specific code for that, as I will do for unit test. So this is exactly what I want to do. I want to initialize my browser and verify that the browser is open on the correct page. So the way I do that, right-click, generate code using the test builder. It's a bit small on top. Let me see if I can get a bit slightly bigger. Generate coded UI test builder. Okay, that now will open a very big screen, so let me go back to normal. Ready to record, but before I do that, I want to start from an empty browser. So I just open my browser instance, and then I start recording. Click on the record button. Anything now that I do, as in any click, any key press, will be recorded as an action. I'll just type here the address of the page, and it will go into my deployments page, actually in my dashboard. Then I click on deployments plan, it will go into my deployments plan, and then I click on create new, just to open the create page. The second button here in the builder is the recorded steps. Hopefully it's visible, but you can see that there is go to web page, click the deployment link, click the create new link. So all the steps have been recorded. I stop recording now. And with this fourth button at the end, generate code, I basically generate these recorded steps as code. I just have to give a name. Which is open create deployment plan. Open create deployment plan. Obviously, I can give a description of what it does. Generate the code. Okay, where is my code? Go back. Here it is. It's been added automatically to my test initialize method. Now, if you notice here, there is a reference to a UI map. So what's now happening is basically that my builder has created a map of all the elements, all the pages and all the elements in the browser. And within that map has generated a method, and this method has recorded all the steps that I performed. To show you this in a more visual way, I'll save this UI map, so there is a UI map object now just added to my project. I open it, and this is the list of all the actions that have been performed for this Open Create deployment plan. Go to this web page, create this link, click on this link, click on this other link. My UI map on the right-hand side is actually showing, let me see again, is actually showing all the elements that are part of the Internet Explorer window. There is a document, there is an hyperlink, there is another document, which is the second page, and there is another hyperlink. So this is pretty simple for now, but it gives an idea of the steps that have been executed. Now, this is my test, as in, if I run this test, the browser will perform these actions for me. And just to verify this, I can compile my project. I can build my project, open my test explorer. There is which I call coded UI test method. Let's give it a better name. Here we go. We can call it coded UI test open deployment plan. Okay, now this test method is still doing nothing because the initialize is actually performing before the method itself, but it's good enough to test what's happening, because obviously the sequence of execution is the initialize first, the method later, and then the cleanup at the end. So now I can run the test, and the test is started. If I switch to my browser, I shall move away just to see that I'm not moving anything on the screen. Hopefully it will start, but the idea is that the browser will be automatically driven by my coded UI test. So let's open the browser, page one, and then it should move, click on the deployments plan. Here on the deployments plan, click on create new, and then open the new the create new deployment plan page. It takes some time to do the actions, and I'll tell you in a moment why. That's just the way this coded UI test works. The good news is that as we switch to Microsoft Edge, because this is actually Windows Internet Explorer 11, we are not yet on Windows 10, as we switch to Windows 10, the Microsoft Edge browser, that's much, much quicker. Okay, done and test passed. Well, the test is passed, but what did it do? It just opened the browser. I didn't check that some conditions of the test have been met. I didn't do any assertion that the actual page has been opened. So I just played back actions that have been previously recorded. That's not really a test, just a playback of a recording. So what I want to do is verify that this page has been opened. This is completely up to you how you want to test. You may want to test that there is a label called create. You want to test that there is a form with these fields. Probably easiest to just to test that the URL is as indicated in the address bar. So what I would do in this case is go here in my initialization method, go back to my recorded builder. There is a third button here, which is not really visible, this target sign, which is a bit tricky, but you have to drag and drop on the controller that you want to assert. Here it is. It will identify the controller, is my address bar, generate something here. Again, let's go slightly bigger here. Here we go. Is a control, is an edit bar, it's call address, and somewhere down here there is a text which is the address. Now I want to add an assertion to verify that this text is as expected. So that is equal to this value, and if not, it just opened the wrong page. That's the message on failure. Add the assertion, so go one back, add the assertion to the code, generate code, assert, how do we want to call it? Assert correct page, add, and if I go back to my Visual Studio Code, here it is. It put in the wrong position because I clicked in the wrong side. Here it is. So first I want to open the page, and then I want to assert. So now this is a test. It's a test that performs some steps and then verify that the page has actually been opened. Now, the way it does it, if we dig inside the code, so now I'm opening my UI map, there is a method that performs a number of actions, as in identify a window, for the browser window, the deployment plan hyperlink, the create new hyperlink, that button is actually an hyperlink, then navigate to the URL, click on the deployment plan hyperlink, mouse click on the create new hyperlink, and that's my sequence of steps. The assertion is the same. Identify my Internet Explorer window, get the address bar, and assert using the normal assert that you will use for unit testing, that is equal to this value. This value is, if we dig into it, it's been hard-coded, because this is what we have recorded, to be the address of the create page. And that's my assertion page. Now, let's progress to the next step. The next step is actually, let's create a deployment plan here. And to do that, we'll move into another, into another method, which I can call test create new deployment plan. I just have to stay on, close the builder, reopen the builder. Okay, the builder is ready. I'm on the right page. I start recording. Recording. And this I can call it Friday 20 plan 1. Active from the 20th. MVC5. Development environment. Create. All the steps have been recorded. Generate the code. I can call it now create new deployment plan, add, and if I go back to my code, here it is, it's been added automatically to, let's remove a bit of space and comments, to my test method. So the steps have been recorded and they are there ready to be executed. I need to assert if the plan has been correctly completed. And to do that, I basically go back to the page. How do I assert that this page is correct? The deployment plan has been correctly created. Well, I can verify that there is something called Friday 20 plan 1, for example. So let's do the same assertion, drag and drop until I get to this element. Here it is. So, okay, zoom in a bit again so we can see better. This is an anchor, is a hyperlink, and the inner text is as enter. Let's add an assertion on the inner text. Is equals to plan 1, and if not, plan not created. Save, add to the code, assert plan created, oops. And if I go back to my Visual Studio, here it is. Create the deployment plan and assert that the plan has been created. Now, let's verify that this actually works. So I build again, go to my test explorer, there is test create a new deployment plan, run the test. So if you see the browser window, I'm on the deployment plans, but as I run the test, it will move to, to the home page, the navigate, open the form, and create the plan for me again. And this is what I expected, because the initialize method has the steps to create, to get to the deployment plan page. And then the new method that we just introduced is the one for actually submitting the form and creating a new deployment plan. Now, I expect something to happen. And again, it takes some time, and I'll get in a moment, I promise that I'll explain why the performance are so bad. So it's thinking, it should get now into the create new, open the form, enter all the information, and then here we go. Start typing, please. And you can check there is no one here that is moving, so the mouse, so it's definitely automated. Here we go, create, ta-da! Who expected this error? Excellent, thank you for your honesty. And the reason is very simple. Why is that? It's creating another form, another plan, sorry, with the same name. And if we have a look at my model for the deployment plan is a required field with a unique index. That means that I can only have one plan with that name. If I go to my test explorer, that is actually saying that my test has failed because I cannot find the control hyperlink called Friday 20. Let me just zoom in a bit to make it more visible. Here it is. So this is my error, and it say, hey, I'm failing. I can't find Friday 20 plan 1 because what is actually showing on the page was that yellow error page. So it's not going back to this list. Right, okay, so how do we fix that? How do we make this automatic or better dynamic so that we don't hard code values for names or for dates or for the application or for the environments? Here is where we have to introduce the new concept of data-driven coded UI testing. Oh gosh, such a long name. The way to do that is relatively simple. We need a text file. Let me add a text file here. Text file, which I can call deployment plans, I do a CSV. Deployment plans CSV. Okay, so I can do it in different ways. Let's keep it simple for now. Name, I'll do it Friday 20 plan 1. And let's do just two because otherwise it will take some time. And so this is like a list. It can become a separate value, so I can add the multiple columns. Let's just stick with the name for now. I can have an XML file. I can have a table on a SQL server. And I think I can have an Excel file as Excel, not just CSV. If you still do CSV, which I think is the easiest, just be sure of a couple of things that I notice will give a bit of troubles if you don't. In advanced save options, be sure that the Unicode is without signature, which is fine enough, but basically is there's Unicode UTF-8 without signature. The signature in front of the UTF-8 will create some weird characters that will fail otherwise the test, so it has to be without signature. And then this file has to be copied to the output directory. So open the properties, copy to the output directory. that's just best practices. Once done, let's go back to our coded UI. Okay, now I need to inform my test method that there is this data source. The way to do it is all coding. So there are no ways to do this in a visual way that I'm aware of. So if you allow me a bit of copy and paste, because there is something to write, and then I'll explain what I'm doing. You have to specify a data source attribute, which is of type CSV. As I said, it can be Excel, XML, and SQL Server. Specify where is your deployment plan's CSV file, which is then in the data directory where is the project has been deployed. This is a name of a table. Again, for CSV, take it for granted. It's just the file name replacing the dot with the hash symbol. And the sequential access, because it's a sequential access. I think there is a random access as an alternative. Yeah, random access. So, I mean, if you want to just jump around, or if you want to go one by one in the sequence as enter into the file. Now, and the deployment item is just saying build this file with the test and deploy it along together. Now, here is where it gets tricky. How do I access my data source? I do it through my test context. The test context that is defined within my coded UI method is basically giving me a data row. And data row is a collection of all the rows that have been entered into my CSV file. I need the first column. This is an object, so let me cast or convert to string. And this is my name. So this is my name. Okay, what do I do with it? I need to inform my new deployment plan and the assertion that I have a name that is taken from the data source. There are a few ways to do that, and again, there is a bit of code to do, and there is a bit of explorations to do. So let's try to dig into the code together and see how easy or complex that can be. If I now go into my UI map, and this is the method that has all the actions recorded, if you see the UI name edit control, this is where the text is assigned. The text is assigned from this object, UI name edit text, that if we dig into it again, is my original Friday 20 plan 1 hard-coded value. So what we have to do is basically is override this value in the test method so that my recorded steps can use what is coming from the data source. And the way to do that is a bit of getting reference to the UI map, to my parameters, to the object, and assign it a name. Now you have to do the same with the assert. So I dig into the assert, I'll have a look. The assert value is equals to these expected values. The expected values is my Friday 20 plan 1 hyperlink. So I just have to jump into it again. This is again the expected value hard-coded name of the link. I need to go back here and say in my UI map, the link text should be the name. So in this way, basically, I'm injecting the name at runtime instead of being hard-coded to two objects, the parameters used by my recorded steps and the expected value used by my assertion to verify that what I've been created is actually correct. So this one should work. And in order to do that, I'll... So what was the name that we gave to the file? Let me check. Plan 1, plan 2, so it shouldn't clash with this. So just in case, let me delete this so we can start from scratch. Here we go. And now, rebuild. And test explorer and execute. Okay, so now what I'm expecting is my test to run twice. First time to create the value plan 1 has entered into my CSV file, and the second time to create plan 2 has entered into the CSV file again. And verify that this is correct. Almost there. Okay, in the meanwhile that we wait for this to happen, let me get back to the point of why this is slow. You have a question? So the question is this is the place where I can specify different parameters to use into the test?
No, my question is, like, is there a way I can integrate, like, specifying all my scenarios in SpecFlow or any other DBD tool?
Right, okay. So for external tools, so this works with the Visual Studio tools, with the coded UI and all the recorded. You have the options to go on different browsers. For external testing frameworks, there is another way of doing Visual Studio, which is called generic test, I think, and that's something else. If you want, we can spend some time later to have a look into that, but yes, you wouldn't do it from a coded UI perspective, because coded UI is really driving the specific browser. If you want to integrate any other frame using the Visual Studio Tools framework, if you want to use anything else, then you need to go for a generic test.
My question is, like, in the SpecFlow, I can specify the various scenarios and specify all my data in the complex object server, and I can integrate with the MS test or the NUnit, and by default, it will generate up those test scenarios for me, and I can run those tests. Is there a way I can integrate with this coded UI as well?
I can't think of an easy way now, but let's have a chat maybe later, and I see some options, because there is a bit of mix of what is recorded that you have control and what is something that you have to put hands on, and then you need to do some coding to add additional parameters. For example, this reference to other values is done through to coding, as we have seen. So there is a combination of both. Right, I think it's done. It has created the two plans as expected, but as you can see behind the scenes, the test failed. And I was expecting that. I was expecting that because it's actually looking for Friday Plan 1, but there is no Friday Plan 1 on the screen. So why is expecting a value? Is we said that, where is it? That my value should come from the row. And this is in combination with the reason why the test performed slower than what you expected. The reason is this. Let's close the builder and go to the UI map. Close the builder and open the UI map. Here it is. Okay, now, these steps here to assert that the plan has been created is actually looking that the inner text of this specific property is equals to a value. And the way this is done is looking into this specific hyperlink. How do I access this hyperlink? I do it, so if I switch to my properties, you can see there are some search properties here, and the search properties are basically instructing the tools how to find this object in the DOM, in the browser, in the page. There are several conditions. You can find by tag name, you can find by ID, you can find by name, you can find by the inner text. So this is why the execution of tests is a bit slow when the DOM, so the structure of the page, is extremely complex, which is not the case of this simple page, but it applies as a principle in general. What the automated test does is basically looking for all the windows of Internet Explorers that are open, active at that moment, and according to some search criteria, will look and find the right window. After doing that, it will look for all the pages, all the tabs inside that window, again, according to a specific search condition. Once it has identified the page, it will look into all the tags, all the DOM objects that respect these criteria. Now, because in this case, we don't have an ID for this hyperlink, the matching is done on the text. So it means basically that among all the hyperlinks in a page, it's doing a scan until it finds the one matching this inner text. If we add an ID, it will be probably quicker because there is only, or is expected to have only, one object with that single ID, and the search will be quicker. So in terms of good practices, when you run a coded UI test, close all the other windows of Internet Explorer or the browser that you're testing. Just close it, because otherwise it will delay the execution of the test. Focus only on that application, and then in building your application itself in MVC, try to assign always an ID whenever it's possible. I know that the MVC file, when you use the HTML helper, not necessarily assign an ID all the time, but if you can assign as an additional HTML attribute, it will help to identify the object in a quicker way, rather than doing a full scan and matching on text. So, and now back to our error. So why are we getting an error? Because what is actually doing is trying to find this hyperlink. If I locate this hyperlink, there is a button here to locate this UI control on the page. This UI control is now going to my page and trying to locate. Come on, locating control. It's taking a while. Okay, I think I can't find it because I deleted this control. This was bad of me. Because it's trying to find something called in this way. Okay, so very quickly, just a quick workaround to this. Recreate the Friday / plan one. If I now try to locate this control, it should hopefully find it. And so basically, the browser is expected to be structured, the page of the browser is expected to be structured in a way that that has been recorded according to the search properties. Here we go. So it found a specific control. But I have created plan one and plan two, which are different from this. So I need to instruct my assertion method to look for this control according to some other search properties, which are not the one that I specified. And this, again, a bit of coding in it. The way to do that is basically, close a few windows, here we go, to get access to my search properties for that control. So that control, we need to do a bit of digging again. Let's go inside. The control is called this long value here. I go back to my method, this UI map, I pass this, I don't need this. This is my control. If I do, oh gosh, one sec, where is my control? Control search properties. I didn't take the control.
the right control. Sorry. Where are you? Control. Here it is. This is my... this is the control. I got the wrong link. So there is a bit of digging into the generated code to do. This is my controller, my search properties. Now this controller is an hyperlink. So I go in here and I say my hyperlink, need to resolve the name. Property names. Inner text should be equals to name. So basically what I'm doing is saying for this control, search for the control using the inner text equals name. And this is just a way to say, okay, override what has been recorded and dynamically assign my search properties in this way. So if I then run this, let me delete the previous one, otherwise we get an error of duplicate records. So I compile and run this from the map again. Hopefully it should work. It is a bit tricky in some way, or just memorizing some steps. The tool allows to do a bit of automation in terms of recording steps. But all the validation, all the assertion, unfortunately, is still requires a bit of coding to do, which is fine. I mean, at the end, we want to have full control on what we are asserting, what we are verifying that is valid. So it should go through that, create a new plan, give the name. So we have already verified that this assigning dynamically the names coming from the data source, so that will resolve the problem of the duplicate records. And once this is done, I expect also the assertion to go and find the correct control. So a bit of practices around this, but then eventually that will work. This is nicely, decently explained on MSDN. I'll point you to the right page in a few slides later. And then it's starting for the second round and going there. Hopefully. Let's see if our test passes. Okay, create the second one. All right, and then after that, we move into the Windows Edge to see exactly what has changed. So, okay, the two are done. We didn't get the duplicate page name error, so which is good. Test completed. Test passed. So, yeah, a bit of tweaking the UI test, but eventually that will work successfully. Right. A few things, just to summarize. Oops, what happened? It's gone. Come on, come back. So a few things to summarize what just said.
There you go. Let's do this way. Oh, come on.
Okay, use the test builder, the coded UI test builder whenever possible, but we have seen the limitation. It's extremely easy to record steps using the builder, but when it gets to doing assertion, you need to start writing some code, especially if you're running a data-driven test that obviously require a data source and then to find the object into the page dynamically based on the search properties. It's not on the list, but I mentioned before, try to use IDs for your elements because that will improve performance, kill any other browser windows, focus only on that application to test.
Do not modify the UI map designer. If you remember, we were digging into the UI map designer.cs file to find the objects, to the hyperlink, the edit. Don't change it, because as you recompile, the designer page is generated automatically by the test builder. So if you change it there, you lose all the record steps. What if you really want to change the recorded steps and introduce some steps, some manual, some code, some manual tasks? You can do it in a very easy way by basically you go to UI map test. If you expand this, you will see that there are two CS files, the designer, which is the one that we said don't touch it because every time is automatically generated, and the normal CS way, which is actually the one that you want to, you can modify if you really have to. Now, there are a couple of reasons why you want to do that. I can't find too many. But one of them is you want to introduce some delay. Oh, you say the test is already slow. You want to delay even more. Okay, there is a good reason for that. One of the best practices that I found on listed on MSDN is record your test only for one page. So test one page per time. But if you remember our very first step, our very first test, so let me get to my UI map, this one, the open, is actually going into two pages. Open the first dashboard, click on the deployment page, plans, and go into the second page. So there are two pages in there. Now, this is a very, very simple pages, so it takes a fraction of a second to load, and the controls are ready to be used. If you have very complex pages with a lot of objects in your DOM, it may take some time, and the steps can be ahead of execution. The DOM is not ready, so there is no equivalent of jQuery.ready. So the steps will run executing and finding your controls before they are actually available. So you want to delay in order to your page to be ready. Now, there is a visual way to do that, which I don't know why is there, but there is, which is here, introduce a delay. So if you introduce a delay, it will delay by 1 second, or you can change this to 500 milliseconds and so on. So you can introduce a delay. And the way, what happens basically, if we go to our open create deployment plan, so open create deployment plan, it just added a playback wait 1,000 milliseconds. And it's a good way to just wait. But what if it takes more than 1,000? What if it takes more, so more than a second, more than 2 seconds? How long do you really want to wait? There is a better way of doing that, in my opinion, which is forget this, just wait, because this is just waiting, just holding your thread for 1,000 milliseconds, is wait until the control is actually ready. So take the name of the control, dot wait until the control is ready. In this way, you're saying click on this hyperlink only after the control is ready. And this is a better way to do it. Problem is, in the way I've done, is that I'm modifying the designer page. And by modifying the designer page, every time I rebuild my test, this is my custom line of code. Goodbye, it's gone. So, not everything is lost. I just have to take this from here, cut out of the designer page, going into my UI map. As you can see, the UI map is an empty class defined as a partial. Just pass in there, and it's done. This resolves some object, and it should be done. So everything that is in the designer page will be wiped away. So if you need to modify a method in there, take it out of the designer, move it into the uimap.cs, and will stay there, and no one will touch it. Just some little tips. And I think, this fourth one here, multiple UI maps, that I haven't honestly done it at all. But basically, if you notice here, there is a UI map. So what is a UI map? It's a collection of all our controls, all our pages, all the windows of the browsers. Now, can be sometimes that you are testing a very complex application. A UI map is a class, after all. It can get bigger and bigger, and it become a bit tricky to dig, as we have seen. You know, I was digging into methods, try to find classes, try to find objects, try to find hard-coded references. If you have thousands and thousands of lines of code, that will become a bit unmanageable. So you want to add additional maps. And I think, if I remember correctly, it's very easy. You just add new item, search for map, I guess. Oh gosh, where did it go? Yes, it just added another map, and then you can just build your recording against the other map, just to keep it cleaner or more organized. That's it from a coded UI perspective in the traditional way. Let's jump into, switch off to this. I have just one more slide. Skip. Coded UI. Into the Edge web driver. Now, I talked a lot. I showed some code. Some worked. Some failed. Everything I said, forget it. Unfortunately, it is. So, well, partially. The approach, the principles are the same. The tools are slightly different. So the Visual Studio tools used for coded UI testing that we have seen before works for Internet Explorer, obviously, works for Chrome, works for Firefox, don't work for Opera, don't even try, don't work for Safari. Who use Safari on Windows? Don't even try. So it wouldn't work. It doesn't work with Edge. So, and the reason is very simple. If any of you guys has attended a session a couple of days ago about programming the Microsoft Edge browser, you would probably have noticed that Edge is a completely new browser. It's a branch off Internet Explorer, but Microsoft decided to drop a lot of functionalities, as in ActiveX, and a lot of unstandard, non-standard, unsupported things that Internet Explorer will do for you, and you don't really have to, and you really want to. One of these things is this capability of being controlled remotely. The good news is that they changed the approach, and they decided to go for what Selenium does. And actually, we still need Selenium. We still need Selenium to control Microsoft Edge. But the difference now is that instead of having Selenium controlling Microsoft Edge, Selenium will interact with the WebDriver. So WebDriver is a new technology that sits between the coded UI testing using Selenium and my Microsoft Edge browser. Selenium talks to my WebDriver using HTTP, request a response. We'll have a look into that in a moment. And my WebDriver, which sit on the same testing machine where I'm testing the application, talks to Microsoft Edge using JSON. So here is the incredible change that happened between Internet Explorer and Edge. Edge is completely controlled, completely programmable, using JSON statement, using a REST API. And very briefly, and I'll give you the reference to this link at the end. There is a very nice playground called Learn How to Use WebDriver online. It's on windows.com. That you can have a list. You have a list of all the elements that are executed, that can be executed against Edge. So you can click, and then it's basically saying do a post using this endpoint. Click. Execute a JavaScript and then submit this JSON message containing the JavaScript. Find this element, again, using this ID, using this value. navigate to this URL. Again, is another post, is another endpoint, is another JSON message in it. So all these commands can go to Edge. Edge understand this JSON command and execute. Now, the challenge in some way will be, okay, so you are asking me to write an application that uses a web API client that calls this endpoint, that builds all these JSON messages. Seems like a lot of work. Well, someone has done this for you, which is the WebDriver that I mentioned before. So the WebDriver is actually it is a Microsoft product. It is a separate piece of application that you have to install onto your Windows 10 machine where you are doing your test. So if we go into my Windows 10 box, I install my WebDriver, and it is simply a file, microsoftwebdriver.exe, into program files. That's it. It's a command line application, and it will be invoked by our coded UI test every time I use Edge as my target browser. So let's go into that and see what happens. Now, this is exactly the same application, but I'm in a VM running Windows 10. In this VM, I have exactly the same solution with my recorded test, create a new deployment plan. It already has a data source. It takes the name from the data source, inject the values, do the search properties as we have seen before, open the deployment plan, do a bit of assertion, and so on. So this is exactly as we have seen so far that we have built this demo in real time. Let me just get rid of one. Actually, no. Three is fine because Edge is much quicker, so it will not take too much time. So I build, open my test explorer. There it is. Create a new deployment plan. Run the test. And okay, if I open the browser, will also be good. So, Edge, localhost, that's my same application running, really. So, I need to launch my application in, here it is. That's the same application, and now let's go back to my test. The test has started, I don't know if it's really working, because let me try again. Okay. Test started. Okay. So my coded UI test now will try to connect to Edge and program Edge in the same way as we have seen before. Let's see if that works. It's hanging a bit longer than what I expected, which is very funny. Okay, come on. Test started, but not doing anything. Okay, Visual Studio, thank you. Kill Visual Studio, let's start again. Okay, kill this, we'll get there, opening, there we go. Okay, I open my application on Edge, there we go, just checking deployment plans, okay, it's empty, go back to the dashboard, test explorer, run, Let's see if that's any better. Okay, so what this is expected to do is to try to control the Edge browser in a similar way that we have done. It's hanging, oh really? Okay, it used to be extremely quick. I'll tell you what happens, it will fail. It fails saying, hey, I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't understand Edge. And the way this is happening is because this coded UI test is actually using the same Visual Studio test tools for UI testing and unit testing that we have seen before. So there is, I can't use the same technology. So the way I will do that instead, forget the coded UI test project, just do a normal unit test project. And into the unit test project, just work exactly the same way as we have done. The UI test project, here we go. Just work exactly the same way that we have seen before, with just some little changes. These changes are basically saying that the way to initialize your web driver, a bit of coding here, basically saying connect to my web driver here. Navigating this VM is a bit tricky. And some options to connect to Edge. Eager loading basically saying open the page and as soon as the page is responsive, start working with it. Create a new instance of the Edge driver. Set a timeout of 5 seconds. After that, if the page doesn't open, just fail the test. In the cleanup, you may want to close the driver. I'm commented this because if I close the driver, it will close my window, so I don't see the results. So I'm keeping this for now. And then I will jump a bit because we have really in the last 5 minutes, and I know that someone is getting hungry. My test will basically be, let me comment this out and make it public. So my test will be, go to this URL, which I defined here. Find this element by name. Click on it. Wait for this number of seconds. No, sorry. Wait until the URL is slash deployment plans. This 5 seconds is timeout. And then do the assertion. So it is slightly changing the syntax. Because now it is more of a unit test approach. But the principles are the same. Now, the difference is, the massive difference is, that there is no coded UI test builder. There is no visual way to record steps. It's all in code, at least for now. So that means that you have to code all the clicks, all the elements, and there is another one for sending keys. Let me double check, sending keys. So this sending keys is basically type that value. Is all now done in Edge, in this code first way. The challenge here is that not all these commands are implemented. So for instance, I was playing a bit with this one that is a very, very nice one, is, zoom in a bit, is this XPath. The XPath is basically saying find an element giving an XPath instruction. This doesn't work, even if it is there as a method. And the reason is that in my browser, I'm currently on version 20.10.40. You can see that on the bottom here. If I go and see into this web driver status, my XPath, let me double check. You see, XPath is going to be introduced in 10.5.4.7, so version of the browser. Some others are done, some others are not. I'm running a bit because we're really in the last minute here. But basically, I will give you these pointers for whoever is interested to go into playing with the WebDriver and Edge. These two pages are really essential because there is no MSDN documentation. It is a technology in evolution. It's not standardized yet. It's a new browser, after all. So all the commands are here. And the only way to understand what these commands do is just to play with that into this playground and verify what is the request body, what is the method, and so on. And then whether they are supported or not, this other page, the WebDriver status, will tell you whether they are supported or not. So some are coming in future releases of Edge, some other are already implemented, and so on. So to go back to Edge, which was a bit slow, but sorry, here we go. So what this Selenium is doing, basically, is hiding all the implementation of the JSON commands for us, calling the WebDriver talk to Edge. And this is just an easier way, as we've done, but still requires a lot of coding to do. So in summary, you want to use coded UI testing when you have to repeat a lot of UI tasks, when there is a lot of data entry that may be time-consuming, when the regression testing is complex, so you don't want your tester to spend a lot of time in doing a bit of the monkey business of entering forms over and over again. And obviously, if you don't want to stay late at night, don't use them if you're doing unit testing and integration testing, because they are meant for UI. Don't use them for web services, for backend, because there is no UI. Again, some obvious, but I also have seen people implementing this UI test, coded UI test, for load testing, as in, okay, now I can simulate from 2, 3, 4, 5 different workstations all these tests and simulate a load on the application. Well, that is not load testing because it doesn't create concurrent sessions. It just automates some tasks. So coded UI is definitely for UI only and not business logic. And as promised, the next steps for you are have a look at these URLs. The first one is about everything that we have seen in the previous part on Visual Studio 2015 and Internet Explorer. And the second one is the WebDriver commands at that playground and the status of implementation of all the different commands. Is a lot of work in progress. They are not complete, it's not standard. They may change, but it's definitely the new way forward. At the moment, I'm not aware of any framework that combine these all together, although if you stick to Selenium, which is very easy to get to, because just go into your project in Visual Studio, go to your NuGet, and I don't know if I have now enough internet connection to get there. But if you go into NuGet and search for WebDriver, maybe internet will not help us. Oh, no, it does. Okay, so that's all you need. The Selenium WebDriver and the Selenium support, which just does some supporting libraries, for you to get straight on and using the application. And that's pretty much it. That's me in Seattle. If you want to reach out, tweet, drop me an email, I promise I'll do my best to put all this source code with some explanation, because I know that has been a lot, and I know that I had to rush a bit towards the end, because the demo was a bit slower than what I expected. But I'll put everything online, and happy to answer any questions. Don't forget to give an evaluation and win is the last session. I hope you had a wonderful night, and I hope to see you next time.